Now, the issue of why young British men and indeed women are being attracted to Islamic Jihad has been in the news again this week. And so has Jersey's Vicar of Gouray, the Reverend Gavin Ashenden, because he's been talking openly about this matter and attracting considerable attention. Now, remember, Reverend Ashenden is not only a vicar here in Jersey, he's also a Queen's chaplain. So when he gets involved in a debate, it does make the news headlines. Midweek, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, reportedly claimed that young people are turning to jihad because mainstream religion is not, quote, exciting. The Archbishop said Britain's religious communities needed to do more to provide an alternative to extremism that gives youngsters a purpose in life. In response, Reverend Ashenden spoke to a London radio station, LBC, and his comments were picked up by the Daily Mail. Among them, his thoughts on passages in the Quran, the Islamic holy text, that Reverend Ashenden said invites people to violence. He also took the opportunity to explain that he believes more Muslims should consider becoming Christians and indeed are considering becoming Christians. Reverend Ashenden has joined me in the studio this morning. Morning.
Hello, Cathy. Good morning.
Now, when you do an interview with a radio station like LBC, which does have a huge listenership, do you realise you're stepping into a hornet's nest?
Yes, I'd like to start off by saying that they phone me, I don't phone them.
Okay. Yeah, you're on their list, aren't you? Because you worked with them so many years.
No, I work for the BBC, yeah. but LBC phone me up about once a month if they want a bit of excitement. They phone me and say, would I comment on something? And so much of the time I can comment on things and it produces a bit of frissons of excitement. But this time it seems to have hit the bullseye a bit because I thought that Justin Welby was wide of the mark when he said that people were drawn to jihad because there wasn't enough going on in London to keep them occupied. And the problem is that, of course, people do like excitement, but the Quran does invite people to violence. There are arguments about whether it should be interpreted symbolically or not, but the verse that invites them to smite off the heads of their enemies is one that Jihadi John is relying on and putting into practice. So although some of my Islamic interrogators have said, Gavin, you don't understand the context, I say to them, well, please explain that to Jihadi John, not to me. And the difficulty is that the problem we have, I think, is where in the Quran do you find verses of restraint? In Christianity, if someone behaves badly, you can say, but Jesus said, turn the other cheek. If Judaism, someone behaves badly, you can say, look, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, no more than that. But in Islam, there seems to be an open mandate for violence, which the Quran invites people to.
And when you get into a conversation like that on a radio station like LBC, and then it's picked up by the Daily Mail, obviously you get a lot of negative feedback, I'm sure, but also quite a lot of positive feedback saying, yes, we agree with some of what you're saying.
Yes, I've been very surprised how much I've actually been overwhelmed by people writing to me saying, thank goodness you said this thing because it's never said in public. And it raises a question about why people are afraid to tell the truth. This is not Islamophobia. I mean, one of the things I'd like to say on record is how moved I am by some Muslims in Lahore who joined hands round a church that had been torched to protect their Christian neighbours. This is not about Muslims, many of whom are wonderful friends and people. But it's about Islam as a system. And it's the question we have to ask is, why can't moderate Muslims restrain what the press call extreme Islam? But actually, it's really just Quranic historic Islam. That's how Islam spread. So that's really one of the theological questions I have for the Muslim theologians.
You also spoke to me when I chatted to you about this the other day, that you've been surprised the number of people have said, thank you for speaking up because we feel like we're being censored.
Yes, there's one of the things that's happened in the last 20 years is this notion of hate crime or thought crime or inciting unpleasantness towards other people. There's a fine line. Well, I mean, actually, I don't think it is a fine line. There is a line between being deliberately offensive and destructively antagonistic towards people and ideas. And on the other side, there's the scope for criticising them. I think you should criticise Christianity, and I think people should be able to criticise me if we do things that are wrong. That's not a hate crime. That's holding us to account for our ideals. But particularly when it comes to matters of equality and inclusion, or in this case, Islam, people are very frightened to speak out. I mean, they're also frightened in case somebody turns up and decides to do a Lee Rigby on you. I personally don't think that's very likely. But it is very worrying that public debate about, for example, the comparative virtues of Muhammad and Jesus can't easily take place without people being frightened.
When you also look at Islam, you said that some Muslims are turning to Christianity because they're not finding, and people could find that offensive, couldn't they?
Well, yes, you don't hear it in the press. I mean, one day in my own chapel, let this not be second-hand, it should be first-hand, I met a woman from Iran who'd been smuggled out. Mary had appeared to her, I mean, literally appeared to her, and said she was being sexually abused by her uncle and was in terrible trouble. And Mary came to her and said, "My son will set you free." And finally, she managed to get through to the West and became a Christian. In Algeria, there are some very exciting stories of Muslims having visions of the risen Jesus and saying, actually, this is a better way. And I think, you know, we're absolutely entitled to say, as a human being, if you want to work out a value system and how to flourish as a human being, look at Western values, look at Islam, look at Christianity, look at Jesus, and decide which you think is the best. And, you know, we are in... One of the reasons why I'm unashamedly want to say to Muslims the better way is to convert and belong to Jesus is not as a piece of imperialism, but because that's what I did. I wasn't always a Christian. I chose Jesus because I love the impression, the effect he has on human beings' lives.
But you do understand, don't you, that many in our culture would say that that is offensive and it's discriminatory.
And they're wrong.
There you go. Well, if we had somebody to debate here with you, they also might say that it creates tension between the two mainstream religions of our time.
Well, that's a very good question. What does create tension? So let's ask the question. Does Islam create tension with its violence and its retribution and its policies? Or does Christianity create tension with its emphasis on forgiveness and love and turning the other cheek? Which of those creates the tension, please?
I think that's...
We'll leave it
at just about 7:15 on a Sunday morning. But it certainly is great food for thought. And thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about why you've once again made the headlines. Not just here in the UK, it's across the world again. I've noticed that this story has travelled, as you say. But as a Queen's chaplain, obviously, people, as well as a vicar of Gure, people obviously listen to you. Is that something that you like to take advantage of?
No, not at all. I came here to be semi-retired and to write and to say my prayers. But I think there are circumstances in our public situation which, as a matter of responsibility and conscience, I want to comment on. And people don't have to take any notice of what I say. Sometimes I'd rather they didn't. But if they do, well, then let's have a public debate.
Thank you very much for coming in this morning. It's been great to speak to you once again. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin.
Thanks. That's the Reverend Gavin Ashenden, of course, Vicar of Gure Church and a Queen's Chaplain.